NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro Choice Ohio. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
Hi, I'm Randy.
Hi, I'm Gabe. So this week we saw the fifth
and
GOP
final.
Debate.
Before final of the year.
Oh, maybe final of the year.
Yeah, but there's still one more before anybody votes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no,
there's one more.
That. Yeah. Like we need another one. Okay.
9 people on stage for the prime time. I couldn't tell you how many people are on stage.
I think it was four still.
Oh, they're still.
Oh, yeah.
They had the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
Did they even air it? Like, where was it?
You know, I was following some friends of ours on Twitter just a little bit. Like, I was eating dinner and just occasionally glancing at my phone because there were people watching the first debate. I'm like, oh, people, you got to get out of this race.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do think that that's the problem with the Republican Party right now. I mean, I'm never going to vote for Republicans, but their party is severely broken.
Yes.
And the only way they're going to get Donald Trump out of there, and they have to,
please God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, a majority of the field just needs to drop out right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lindsey Graham, Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Carly Fiorina, Ben Carson, Rand Paul, they all got to go now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then whoever's left needs to, like, join forces and oppose Donald Trump and give Republican voters somebody serious to actually vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm never voting for that person.
No.
No.
But
if you are a Republican,
yeah,
someone who you could vote for. Who's not going to fuck up the country, basically.
Well, that's impossible, but...
right.
Who would do the least amount of damage.
There we go.
Who's not literally crazy and calling for us to register Muslim people or not allow them here, and it's calling for us to build some huge wall that we can't pay for, and that's just completely... a completely ridiculous person. Mm-hmm.
The problem is, though, that he makes everybody else sound sane, because one of the other things that was in there that, like, made me just want to rip all my hair out was Ted Cruz's I'm going to carpet bomb Syria.
Right.
Like, you do understand that, like, ISIS isn't like World War II Nazi Germany, right?
They're not in, like, tanks and trenches. It's not the kind of war.
Like, it's one or two people in apartment complexes with innocent women and children.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna carpet bomb this whole country.
Yeah.
Killing God knows how many.
Yeah, right. Exactly. At least Rand Paul still knows about the Geneva Convention. And that is, I mean, he did bring that up when Trump was talking about he would basically kill the families of terrorists.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and they're like, oh, you're going to kill women and children like that don't have anything to do with
it? He's describing terrorism in his effort to fight terrorism.
Yes, exactly. Ooh. Exactly. I mean, come on.
Yeah. What was kind of the comical spin on all of this was the reporters that were fact-checking after the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were pulling up ridiculous things in different directions of ridiculousness.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the proposals were talking about embedding U.S. troops within the Iraqi military to help them. It's like, yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah.
They were describing things that, you know, President Obama has been doing.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we should do this. And Kasich was called out specifically as, wow, his foreign policy sounds sane. It's almost like this is exactly what the president is doing now. But then there was other stuff that was just so, like, you know, nutty. Chris Christie talked about how he was going to, you know, he was just going to have a talk with King Hussein of Jordan and tell him this, and I think he'll agree. And people were like, well, he probably won't agree because he died 16 years ago. It's a different ruler of the country now.
I mean, basic debate prep. Who is the leader of all the countries you want to talk about? So you don't pick the guy who died.
Yeah. He wasn't quizzed on Jordan. He brought it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't know the actual ruler of the country.
Uh-huh. Womp womp.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But there's no sign of, you know, the people dropping out. Mm-hmm. Needing to. Voting is going to start really soon. It's the middle of December now. They vote in like weeks.
At this point, I figure they're just like, you've stayed in this long. I mean, they're probably just going to stay through the voting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because the whole thing's going to scramble. It's going to be like, you know, Yahtzee. And Lord only knows what comes out at the end of New Hampshire. You're right. You're exactly right. They're staying in just sort of a, why the hell not?
Yeah.
Exactly. I've got my billionaire over here who's sustaining my personal campaign. And
exactly.
You know, I mean, I think that's the kind of... You know, the Republicans love Citizens United and fought to get Citizens United and all this money into politics and everything else.
And it's still not helping them.
And now it's like actually becoming their downfall.
Yes.
All these wealthy billionaires behind each one of these candidates is letting candidates like Lindsey Graham, who 4 years ago would have never been able to stay in this long, stay in a campaign that's completely worthless.
Right.
So,
and most of the discussion was on ISIS and terrorism, but none of the discussion of terrorism mentioned, I don't think ever, the Colorado shooting at Planned Parenthood.
No,
which everybody pretty much agrees is domestic terrorism.
Yes.
Completely absent from the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. So,
yeah, we don't talk about those kinds of things.
No.
But another
terrorists can't look like them.
No, they can't be born in the United States and can't be, you know, white dudes.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, white dudes with guns are okay. We need more white dudes with guns. As we found out the day that they voted to defund Planned Parenthood and with everything else on the agenda, we, you know, banned Syrian refugees from coming. Well, sent a letter trying to ban, but you can't actually.
Strongly worded letter.
to Obama saying we don't want them here. So we're scared of Syrian toddlers. We're scared of people getting access to health care at Planned Parenthood. And we're, because they passed a concealed carry basically everywhere in daycares and airports and everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're scared of not enough people having guns in Ohio. Yeah. So. You know, that's their list of what we're scared of, not, you know, a domestic terrorist shooting at Planned Parenthood.
Which, I mean, none of that really helps, you know, none of that helps people of color in Ohio.
How would we
because do that? It's very clear that even though this is an open carry state, you better not be a black person with a gun and the police see you, you will be dead.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Yeah.
But on Ohio politics, like in this never ending cycle of elections don't just happen in the year they happen in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Last Friday, Mike DeWine basically announced that he was running for governor.
In the weirdest way possible.
In the weirdest way possible. But, you know, basically this is what he was doing. He held a press conference on Friday to release the findings of his investigation into Planned Parenthood. And if you watch us every week, we talked about this back in July when he actually launched the investigation because of those false, heavily edited videos from other states. Mike DeWine decided he had to investigate whether or not Planned Parenthood was... you know, engaging in the tissue donation programs that the other states were doing, which are legal in other states, not so legal in Ohio.
Even though the Department of Health is in Planned Parenthood facilities almost on a weekly basis anymore.
Basically, yes. And they inspect all that stuff and they would have all that information.
Would have known, should have known.
Mike DeWine was one of the first, actually, state officials to launch a campaign into Planned Parenthood. And in every other place where they've released the findings, they've found nothing was wrong.
Exactly.
But, you know, we can't just say
And so I can give you one guess. What they found wrong here? Nothing.
So, you know, it was an interesting foray into what we're probably going to see in the gubernatorial campaign. Well, you know, again, that one's going to be a really hotly contested Republican race as well. You know, we've got Mary Taylor, who's
John
currently
Husted.
Yeah, Mary Taylor's currently the lieutenant governor. But they keep her hidden in a closet somewhere. Yes. Like, you never really see her out doing anything.
I bet her name recognition is like, you know, in the below 20%.
For sure.
She's been the lieutenant governor for almost 6 years now.
Yeah.
People don't know who she is.
No, I think the first time I ever really saw her speaking in public was at one of the Planned Parenthood things that Higher Right to Life did this summer. And I think that was only because John Kasich was out, you know, spending too much time in New Hampshire at that point. So yeah, we've got her. We've got John Husted, who's our current Secretary of State. And then Mike DeWine. So, you know, you've got to make a name for yourself. So... he made a name for himself launching this press conference and basically proving what we all said in July. He was going to find nothing wrong with what they did with their tissue, you know, program because there was no donation program that existed in Ohio.
Right.
But you can't just say that.
Right.
So he then, you know, basically, actually, when you really look at what happened, he accused Planned Parenthood of disposing of, you know, medical waste in the way that Ohio law requires them to dispose of said material.
Yes.
But of course he couldn't just say that. He had to make inflammatory rhetoric. You know, it's actually interesting. 2 days after we did the press conference on inflammatory rhetoric and how bad it is, you know, Mike DeWine gets up there and, you know, makes wild accusations about Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he got up there and said they didn't do anything wrong. And oh, by the way, they're following the law with this other thing. Mm-hmm. But everybody should be outraged about it.
Yes. Exactly. This is so inhumane. But yet he can't say what would mm-hmm. be the humane way to, like, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to leave it up to the legislators. Because actually, they already put a bill forward like a month ago before this even came out. And none of us are talking to each other. Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The timeline on things shows that the attorney general and legislators were clearly discussing things mm-hmm. in advance.
Oh, yeah.
There were questions asked to Planned Parenthood, which we might have even talked about on this podcast.
It's probably.
About you know, fetal tissue disposal. They were questions asked in November by mm-hmm. legislators. To Planned Parenthood. They were asking them to health educators.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who didn't have a clue because they don't work in the abortion facility. And then it turns out that at that same time, beginning in November, there was a co-sponsor request for these bills. Mm-hmm. So that was a month and a half before, you know, the attorney general made this announcement.
Yeah.
And then when legislators unveiled new legislation as their reaction, they said, oh, well, we didn't know about this until Friday's press conference. We wrote this legislation over the weekend.
My butt. Well, and I think what was really interesting, too, was, you know, the co-sponsor requests always ask, you know, do you want to sign on to this bill? You need to do it by this date. And so, like, I actually looked at them again yesterday. The date to sign on was, like, November 10th. Right. And so, like, you almost always see pretty much immediately the next session time, the actual bill drop. I mean, those are hard deadlines that they had dropped the bill. So, you know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, it's because somebody went, hey, you might not want to introduce that yet. You'll probably get a lot more splash if you wait until I finish my investigation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, you know, a perfectly colluded mass conspiracy, you know, between them and Ohio Right to Life. I think you were telling us earlier that, like, a reporter said that they actually got the Ohio Right to Life press release on the attorney general's findings before they got the attorney general's press release on the findings.
Yes.
So, you know, without mm-hmm. Ohio Right to Life having prior knowledge of what he was going to release, how the hell did they come up with a release on what he was going to find?
Right. Yeah. Ohio Right to Life put something up on Twitter with artwork before the attorney general had released their statement, or at mm-hmm. the same time as the attorney general was releasing their statement. Ohio exactly. Right to Life had a press release ready to go with artwork, and they're saying that there was no, you know, no coordination of efforts here.
Yeah.
And earlier this year, we saw the report from the AP, Julie Carr Smyth, revealing that, you know, John Kasich had been working behind the scenes with legislators mm-hmm. to craft abortion restrictions. So we know that Kasich's had his hand in all of this, all of these attacks on Planned Parenthood and abortion rights for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ohio Right to Life was involved in that. Mm-hmm. And now we've got pretty much proof, you know, everybody who has their eyes open can see that Ohio Right to Life has, you know, been working with the attorney general. Mm-hmm. And they're standing up there saying, well, no, we didn't know about this. And legislators are standing up there saying, well, we just wrote this over the weekend because we're shocked. Mm-hmm. It's a massive campaign to try and attack abortion rights and abortion providers here in the state mm-hmm. of Ohio.
Yeah. And it's going to get somebody hurt. I mean, we talked about this with the inflammatory rhetoric before. You don't get up there and say the things that the attorney general said without somebody hearing it.
Yeah.
And being pushed.
And the legislators were even worse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they really were.
Yeah, Representative Kohler from Springfield was talking. I mean, he brought up 9/11. He brought up concentration camps.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah, he directly related Planned Parenthood to Auschwitz and Dachau. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, 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 and no.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the textbook example of violent rhetoric.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the sort of comments that those crazy nut jobs use as their cue when they do things like Colorado Springs. This is what needs to stop.
Yeah.
And well, here it is.
It's very, like, highly offensive and ridiculous, especially if you've ever seen a real concentration camp or been there, because yeah. I actually have. I've been to Dachau, which mm-hmm. was one of the first ones, and it's a sad, depressing, like terrible place to be. And to try to relate that to women making decisions for themselves, decisions that they don't regret making, that's so stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. I mean, one of the legislators in the press conference even went so far to say, you know, you either were ignoring it and staying silent on what was happening on the other side of that wall, or you didn't know about it. And it's right. high time that we stop sitting on the wall and pretending that we don't see the stuff going on the other side yeah. of that wall. We can't just sit here anymore. We can't be quiet anymore. And I'm like, what are you telling people in this? Right. You can't sit here. You can't be quiet. What are you telling them to do? Yeah. You're not saying those words, yeah. but you are implying exactly. big, huge things.
Exactly.
And yeah. It's dangerous. And Randy, you're right. It is offensive. You know,
yeah.
I think if Representative Kohler was sitting in front of the family of the, you know, Iraqi war veteran who died in Colorado Springs,
yes.
you know, would he make the same remarks and,
no.
you know, compare that place where that man was killed to a concentration camp?
Yeah. I mean, that's completely ridiculous. And what you say by saying that is just that, you know, women are murderers. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. And because no one is forcing women to get abortions, you make that choice, you know, yourself. And it's, you know, whatever choice you wanted to make with you and your family. So then to say that they're in there and they're doing this terrible thing, that's just women, like, they're just mm-hmm. preaching that, you know, these women that do this are terrible people and that they don't know what they're doing. And it's really ridiculous. Yeah. Like, no, they know exactly what they're doing and they're not terrible people. You're the terrible person for saying that they're terrible
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
And you don't even know anything about their life. You're not even concerned with them about their life. If you actually cared about them, you would make it so that they would want to keep a pregnancy or they wouldn't have unwanted pregnancies. But again, that would be too much trouble. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to blame them.
Yeah.
So Mike DeWine obviously gets the walk of shame this week.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't stand looking at him.
So that's what She Said Award goes to State Representative Kathleen Clyde, who was very quick to speak up in support of Planned Parenthood on Friday. Her release in part says, "This harassment of Planned Parenthood and its patients is inexcusable. The attempt to paint the women's health care provider as a lawbreaker is sad and deeply troubling.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Kasich's equally weak call for his health department to take legal action is dangerous and puts women in harm's way. She says that she stands with Planned Parenthood because it is a trusted and valuable resource for women and men in Ohio." So
yeah.
Bravo, Kathleen yeah. Clyde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was right there, ready to roll, and really there to stand up for her constituents and people across the state. So
exactly.
we thank her a lot. So,
yep.
But as we said earlier, they did a press conference, and now we have a whole new set of bills.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. never let a good lie go unchallenged and untaken advantage of.
Right.
And
the fact that there's new legislation, they, you know, DeWine tried to imply that Planned Parenthood is breaking some different mm-hmm. law. Mm-hmm. They're not.
No.
The solution to breaking a law isn't a new law.
Yeah, it is. Because you need to make sure they're breaking a law. Come on, Gabe.
Like, logically, that is just so broken.
Yes.
You know. The but follow
it's not a whole lot of logic here.
No. If there was illegal activity, the follow-up would have been in a courtroom, not the state house writing new laws.
Yeah.
Well, but it just proves this whole pattern of their behavior. You know, when an abortion clinic finds a way to meet a new requirement, they change the goalpost.
Right.
We required transfer agreements. Then we required them to be with local hospitals. And then they said, well, that hospital isn't local enough, so we're going to, you know, put a 30-mile range on this, even though it means absolutely nothing because they're going to be taken to the closest hospital no matter what.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're going to allow you to get a variance, but that variance has to be with a not public hospital, you know, a doctor who works not at a public hospital, and that, you know, that hospital has to okay the doctor using their privilege in that way. And although Ohio law says you only need one backup doctor, you know, they've approved variances with two or three doctors in the past, mm-hmm. and now they're saying, oh, no, you need four. doctors. Right. So every time the clinics, you know, meet another one of these ridiculous, medically unnecessary, does absolutely nothing to improve patient safety regulation, they change the goalposts because they don't care about women's health. They don't care about what's best. They care about closing down clinics. And if that law didn't do it, well, of course, we need to make it worse. And so that's exactly what these bills do. Mm-hmm. They will... And they'll require clinics to dispose of this material in ways and by cremation or internment. But it also requires the clinic to force the woman to choose how it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not give her the option of choose.
Right.
Force her to choose. And it was interesting in that press conference too, one of the representatives was like, well, the other side likes to talk about a lot about, you know, how the woman is the person who gets to make that decision. And now we're just giving her another decision to make. Like, no, you're not. Because
no.
Another decision would be, I don't want really give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or, you know, why am I involved in this? Or, you know, I don't care. Do whatever you want with it. You know?
Yeah. And if she has questions, she can ask them to her doctor now. Like,
yeah.
Those
yes.
conversations are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The conversation doesn't need to be forced by law.
Yeah. No. And it's just another example of this legislature shaming women.
And like we were talking about earlier,
care.
It's just going to make it more expensive.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something like, that really irks me the most about it, because a lot of women already are struggling to afford it in the first place. And now it's just going to be even more expensive
yeah.
to do this mm-hmm. stupid-ish that we don't need
yeah.
to do. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, if they don't care, they don't want to, like, why are you forcing them to decide mm-hmm. that?
Because we need to shame you.
Yes.
Like right. you should be having a funeral for this, you know, fetus that you're, you know, terminating, because you should feel bad about this, because you should be cherishing this, and real women wouldn't do this. I mean, that's what this whole law is
yeah.
based on. I mean, I was talking to one of the clinic operators, and she was saying how, like, seriously, out of all the bills we face, this one, like, makes me the most mental. This misogynistic, controlling, paternalistic
yes.
piece of shit bill that's purely based on shaming women making
yeah.
a decision to have an abortion. That is
yes.
what this is all about. It is
exactly.
not about the humane treatment of fetal remains. This
no.
is about shaming women and
mm-hmm.
telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll be facing these three bills, two in the House and one in the Senate, next January when they mm-hmm. come back. And it looks like they'll be back around January 20th or so next
mm-hmm.
year.
I'm surprised
okay.
they don't go ahead and go to the next level and do the whole Jeb Bush Scarlet A legislation.
I'm sure we're getting there.
Yeah, we really are, mm-hmm. which is really ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this gets close. I mean, they have to fill out a form. This form has to, the woman has to fill out the form. The form has to stay in her medical record, and the clinic actually has to have some kind of running document on this person's tissue was disposed of on this date by this method. And
mm-hmm.
this is the certification of it. I mean, there were very real questions in that press conference of, are you creating a list of women who get abortions in Ohio?
Yeah.
And this very easily could do that.
Yes.
Right.
So that's
okay.
what we get to face in February, in January.
Yay.
So that continues.
Mm-hmm.
Totally separately, much more comically. the main proponent, not sponsor, because bills have sponsor, but mm-hmm. ideas have proponents. The main proponent of the heartbeat bill is running for office. So,
it was the best thing ever yesterday.
Janet Folger Porter, the head of Faith to Action, has declared her candidacy to run in the primary against Larry Obhoff for the Ohio State Senate.
Yep. In the 22nd State House, State Senate District.
Yeah. So,
yay.
Where is this district located?
Northeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm. So the heartbeat bill was introduced for the first time in what, 2011?
Yeah, I think so.
And has flopped and flailed miserably ever since it was first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Janet has tried sweet-talking legislators into passing this. That failed. She tried bullying them into talking and into passing this. That failed.
Mm-hmm.
The probably low point of the heartbeat bill was when the Ohio House actually brought the bill up for a vote and voted it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is the only time I've ever seen legislation actually brought to the floor just to be killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it just dies a slow, quiet death somewhere
right.
else.
And so her solution was just to become obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like her obnoxiousness is extending into running for office.
Yeah. That's going to be fun for Senate President Faber. I mean, this really has been this personal battle between Janet and yeah. Keith Faber. And it'll be really interesting to see how that race goes down. So
yeah,
and get your popcorn ready because she's going to be full of all kinds of fun things out there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and she's been harassing him specifically. She had one of her supporters actually mm-hmm. protesting outside his home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, if you ask me, is way out of bounds.
Yes. Yeah,
totally.
And we released, NARAL released a statement mm-hmm. For a previous one of these mm-hmm. Protests saying, hey, this is not acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not okay to protest at doctor's houses.
On
not okay
either
to
side. Yeah. I mean, just don't go to somebody's house. Like, really, mm-hmm. that's completely ridiculous.
Yeah. So this should be an interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's quite ridiculous.
I'm ready to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Got your popcorn. It'll be interesting.
Yes.
Now for let's get it on. Okay. The holidays are coming up soon, and I'm excited. I'm excited to go to Georgia and see Minnie. But enough about me. So, if you are wondering, you know, you're struggling to get a gift. And you're wondering what you can do, then you can give the gift of choice and you can buy someone a membership to NARAL Pro Choice Ohio. You go to our website and pay for their year membership, and I'll be doing something good and helping us, you know, to continue our work here in Ohio, trying to keep these crazies at bay, because it ain't easy. So definitely do that. Also, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook.
On Twitter, we're ProChoiceOH.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can donate at our website, ProChoiceOhio.org.
Yes. Donate and follow.
Sorry, please continue.
Oh, no, you're okay. That's good. Donate and follow. Just to give a few updates of previous events we had this past week, we had our Women of Color Happy Hour, our second event, which was really awesome. We had all new ladies come out, and we're going to do it again January 21st, which is a Thursday. But I'll be giving out more details as I get a little closer. But that went really well. We had a really great evening talking about, you know, all the crazy stuff that's going on and what we want to continue to do next year. Also, Wednesday night, I believe was also the second meeting of Stitch and Bitch
yep.
in Cleveland at the Bottle House in Cleveland. I'm really jealous. I could not attend because it's in Cleveland, so far away. But
they were Stitch means knitting, right?
Yes.
Okay. Knitting.
Yes, they're knitting, crocheting, cute little uterus hats and, you know, different things. It's really fun. Like, Kelly tweeted at me, like, we should do this in Columbus. I said, I'm totally open to do that. I don't know how to crochet or knit.
Yeah.
So I would need someone else there to actually do the, like, actual crafting. But
you're good at the bitching, but not so much at the stitching.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, we can get together and just bitch. I mean, that's not also an option. But yeah, so they did that Wednesday night. And if you're in Northern Ohio in the Cleveland area, you can always get together with Annie, Annie at ProChoiceOhio.org. And yeah, go to the Stitch and Bitch because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Okie doke. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.